our gathering and coming together, the reason for this is only one, my friends. The reason for us to come together, to gather together, is one. And I'm saying this for this reason, that we should make a niyyah that we are gathered for this reason. We should make an intention that we're gathered for this reason. And the reason that we're gathered is fikri akhirah, the worry for the hereafter. In the whole Quran, from Alif Lam Mim until Nas, Surah An-Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this message to human beings with examples, with hukam, with orders, with a method and with a framework. Allah Ta'ala has given a message that this world is temporary, and the world to come, the life to come, we should prepare for that. And this is the message of the whole Quran to us, for us. And we need to do amal on this. We need to practice on this. But it's sad to say that as important as this message is in the whole Quran, the message that has come to us, and we are on that same level, as much as that Quranic message is important, that is the amount that we are negligent from morning until night. If we see that how much did I do fikr for my akhirah, then very few moments will we see that we did such an ibadah with such worry that it is totally for the preparation for the hereafter. One is the category of that, those people who have totally no regard, no worry. And then if Allah Ta'ala does give some tawfiq, ability for somebody to do ibadah, then he doesn't think that, shall I do this amal for the akhirah? Shall I do this practice for the hereafter? Most definitely, if he's doing that amal for the akhirah, then there'd be a lot of quality and improvement in that amal. Then there'd be a thought that Allah Ta'ala will see this amal of ours, and it will go in front of Allah, that will I take such a salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will I take this sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will I take this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the court of Allah? Will I take this dua, this prayer? So the ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, then there are very few moments where we see fikr and concern in the ibadah that we do. And even if our heart feels like it, even if we feel like it, then with the fadl of karam, for example, even if we feel like we want to do ibadah for the right reason, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do the ibadah for the right reason, then when we do that, then there's one other big factor lacking. And the factor that's lacking is that we are doing amal, we're practicing. Allah Ta'ala has given us such great deeds, and Allah Ta'ala allows us to do the practice, just like we're sat here, we're gathered here, and there's such a big amal to sit here, to gather together in such a majlis. And sometimes unconsciously, unknowingly, unwillingly, we do such an amal. We've prayed Isha Salah, Alhamdulillah. Let's think for a moment. What did we attain from the Salah that we just prayed? Think for a moment. That very seldom will we think like this. And many people don't even know this. And this is fikr of the akhirah, fikr for the hereafter. For example, if a person goes to apply for a job, he asks, how many days off will I get? What's the wages I will get? The salary, holidays, how much do I have to work? What are the hours of work? Many terms and conditions. Now we're doing the ibadah to Allah. We're worshipping Allah. Isha Salah. If we're praying, people are praying. Those who are not praying, they should hear as well. It's amazing. It's surprising that we don't know. That person has prayed Isha Salah in congregation, Jamaat. Allah Ta'ala says, you get the reward of half the night of worship. Not just thawab, the reward for half a night of worship, awake, whilst awake. Think for a moment. Half the night, if a person stays up, awake, and this is recommended, this is guaranteed that Allah Ta'ala is giving the reward, subhanAllah. And we, for example, all night long, we may yawn and drink tea and go and sajda again and see, what's the time, I'm tired. That's one worship of the night. And there's another worship of the night, that person who goes to pray Isha Salah in Jama'ah, in congregation. And is this a small amount of reward that Allah Ta'ala has given? My friends, tell me that a person gets half the night of worship reward for praying Isha and Jamaat. Just by walking to the masjid a few steps, doing wudu and praying four rakah salah, you get the reward of half a night of worship. Half a night. And if Allah Ta'ala says this, this is a fact. And those women who've prayed at home, they get the same reward. Yes, and if somebody sits at home or stands at home and prays Salah, a woman, she gets the same reward. And if a person can't stand and pray, sits and prays, same reward, half a night of worship's reward. Then Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq that we come to Fajr Salah, after the night passes. For every Muslim, he must attend Fajr Jamaat. And if the person doesn't attend Fajr Salah in Jamaat, then he's a criminal Islamically and he's destroying his own destiny. So if a person comes to Fajr Salah with the Fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, and he prays Salah with Jamaat in congregation, leaves to go home, and does he know what he has done? O servants of Allah, think how much grateful we should be to Allah. What does Allah Ta'ala say? That the person who prays Fajr Salah in Jamaat, on top of praying Isha in Jamaat, then he gets the reward of the whole night of worship, the whole night of staying up, the whole night. How long does it take, tell me? How long does it take? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is Kareem, Allah is merciful, and we earn such loss in the hereafter, for which the Quran has been sent to us, revealed to us, for which the Quran time and time again tells us that the life in this world is temporary. The person who prays Fajr Salah, fine. The person who leaves Fajr Salah in the morning, then he has left such a big na'mah of life, which will never come again. Because it's written in mine and yours destiny. It's written in my destiny. It's written that you will pray this many Fajr Salahs in your life. It's written, I cannot pray more than that. Fajr Salah. So those Fajr Salahs that I don't pray, then there's an X in front of them. It's a cross. So let you and me think that how much life I'm wasting. The Fajr Salah is so valuable and Isha Salah is so valuable. And if I keep this routine in my life regularly, steadfast, since I've been baligh, mature, and Salah is fard on me, tell me, is this a small amount of thawab? The thawab for praying Fajr and Isha in Jamaat? And this is fard for us to do this. And it's fard for this reason, that don't run away. Allah says, I want to give you thawab forcibly. Forcibly. Allah says, how dare you? You leave this worship. Allah says, you'll be scared of fard. And fard is a massive reward. If you don't pray fard, then there are lots of statements. The ulama, the respected scholars will tell us that he is a criminal or she is a criminal who rejects the fard actions. So there are certain actions that are fard for us. For example, we have salah, we have fasting, Ramadan, we have hajj once in a life minimum. If we are able to, we have zakat, the compulsory charity. We must adhere and implement these. And for leaving this, the question doesn't arise. He's a big criminal. Islamically, he's a criminal. But alhamdulillah, if we have a routine that we're praying salah in congregation, in the masjid, we're praying. So if in 80 years of life, 80 years, how many nights I've worshipped them? Full night of worship. If I pray Isha and Fajr and Jama, and listen, what is the reward a person attends? My friends, yesterday's night was different, tonight's night is different. The night to come tomorrow is different, and the night after is different. Every night and every night, Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, Allah Ta'ala's rewards are different and unique. Allah Ta'ala says that my rewards come in a unique way. Ajeeb fitnas arise every night. Different fitnas for those people who reject the deen, who don't accept, then Allah's tajalliyah don't come on those people, fitna comes on those people. And those who worship, Allah's beautiful rewards, different, come every night. Ajeeb, unique, different doors of Jannah open, different rewards are given. Every night brings a new color, a new reward, a new rejoicing, a new enjoying, a new reward. So Allah Ta'ala is the Khaliq. Allah says that my ocean is vast, my rewards are vast, and your aqal, your knowledge cannot reach to that point, that what are the rewards that Allah Ta'ala is giving every night in a different way. That what is the law here? What are the rewards Allah Ta'ala is giving? What Allah Ta'ala has kept in every night? And then alhamdulillah, on top of that, these are the nights of winter that have come now. Allah Ta'ala has increased the length of the night, stretched the hours of the night. It's a great reward. Even if you're sleeping 7-8 hours, but these two salah you pray in Jama'ah, Isha and Fajr, you are getting the reward of worshipping the whole night. Allah says, sleep through the night and you still get the reward. Subhanallah. Now, the reward of staying up in the night. Do you think you'll get empty reward? Allah Ta'ala says, all the rewards that are given to a person for staying up all night long, that are raining down like a shower or rain, Allah says, you'll get the same reward. Even if you haven't stayed awake. Allah says, have you stayed awake? So Allah Ta'ala says, he who prays Isha and Fajr and Jama'ah gets the reward of worship all night long. So Allah Ta'ala gives a reward even though we haven't stayed awake. Allah says, if you stay awake, on top of that, if a person who passes away, we say, oh, that person's passed away. Allah says, no, that person's alive if his heart is alive. Allah Ta'ala says, that person I say is dead. Allah says, you don't know who is dead. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't know that the person who is shaheed, has that person passed away? No, he's alive, she's alive in the grave. So we say that we've gone to sleep. Allah says, but you're not asleep, you're awake in my kitab, Allah Ta'ala says. You're awake in my kitab, because your link with me is that you are alive and you are earning reward if you pray the Isha and the Fajr. So such great rewards Allah Ta'ala gives to us, and Allah makes us do this. So the reason why I'm saying all of this, the point I'm trying to make, is said, what is the fikr that we have every day for the hereafter? Okay, we've got this reward in our pockets now. But what's the fikr we should have for the hereafter? That Allah Ta'ala gives us opportunity to earn good deeds, do good ibadat, and get rewards. Allah gives us ilm and Quran and hadith and fiqh. Jurisprudence makes us an alim, a khatib, a speaker, a sufi, a dhakir, a mufassir, a commentator of the Quran, a hafiz of the Quran, an abdal, a wali of Allah, a kutab, a ghaus. These are all different levels in the definition, the dictionary of Islam. Allah gives all of these statuses and ranks to people. So what is the worry for the hereafter that should come in all of these things? Now, for example, I go to my shop, and today I've worked in a shop and I get my earnings, my salary, and I put them in my pocket, £1,000 or £500. So what's the first fikr I'll have? Oh, I'll go and take this money home, I'll protect it, and I'll put it in my pocket so I can get home safely with my money. Yeah, so normal things you'll put in this pocket, but the money you'll put in the inside pocket with the zip. There's no danger. You're going to the same home, you're sitting in the car. Unconsciously you put the money in the zip pocket because you have a knowing, you have a method of protecting the money in a certain way. You've just come back from Umrah, you've just come back from Hajj, mashallah, you've done it. But the person who has a fikr of the hereafter, he says, I've done Umrah, I've done Hajj, but I need to protect my Umrah, I need to protect my Hajj. I've prayed Salah, how do I protect my Salah? There's a value of my Isha and Fajr Salah. There's a value. How do I protect this value? Yes, why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that with regards to the hereafter, that the deeds that we are practicing and earning and getting the reward, Allah Ta'ala says that all the deeds, they won't all go to the hereafter. They won't reach there. Don't just think, I've prayed Salah, I'm going to get the reward, I'll show to Allah, hey Allah, I've prayed this Salah. No, who told us that this will happen? The actions that will go with us to the hereafter, even that is a great achievement. That when we pass away and the cloth is wrapped around us, then we'll realize that this salah that I prayed in my life, is this going with me? Because the secret will be unraveled at that time. Now I'm thinking, I've prayed salah, ishraq, isha, fajr, this prayer, I've done this action, and I've read Quran this many times, I've done umrah this many times. But is this action going with me to the hereafter? When I pass away, the coffin is wrapped around me and I'll be lowered in my grave, then those amal, will they come into reality and go with me to the hereafter? Many people see those amal burnt, wasted. Why? Because I practiced those deeds, but after those deeds were practiced, I didn't protect those deeds. I'll give you a small example that's coming to my mind, so you'll understand what I'm saying. That if I'm on a journey, I've gone, for example, a holiday or a tour, and I'm taking some food with me and some drink, and I put some food in the hot pot and something in the flask, and I don't pack the food properly, I don't preserve it. When I get there to the spot where I open the container, all of the food is wasted. It's fallen over, it's broken. Whose fault is it? I didn't protect my food. I didn't keep it the right temperature. I didn't keep it in the right container. Will I be able to eat it? So when it's time to eat, I'm hungry. The food, it's gone to waste. Same way the deeds are in the same way. My friends, remember this point. The deeds that you've performed, those who have looked after their deeds, protected them, secured them, packed them correctly, looked after them, kept looking at them. My umrah's there, my amals, my deeds are there, and I've protected and done hifaza. Then when I go in the grave, alhamdulillah, then those deeds will be visible to me and I'll get the reward for those deeds. If I've protected them. Amal, practicing amal is one thing. That's with the tawfiq of Allah. And to protect them, to secure them, and to take them protected to the hereafter, so that when we open our container, just like the fresh food came out and I ate it with enjoyment, those deeds should come in front of me on the day of judgment. I say, Allah, my deeds are there still. I shouldn't worry. I can present them to you. Now I ask you, or I tell you, that how are deeds wasted after they're practiced? Now listen to this point. So we understand, so we can have fikr on this, so we can protect our deeds. That's the reason why I'm speaking today. So when we practice deeds every day, all day long, how are our deeds spoiled? From the batin. Our deeds are stored in our batin, in our inner self. If my batin is dirty, if my inner self is dirty, then all my deeds become dirty. My salah will be spoiled, my fasting will be spoiled, my hajj will be spoiled, my umrah will be spoiled. If my batin is impure, then this contaminates and burns all the deeds. It spoils them. Why? Why? Because the batin, when the inner self, the soul, the heart is dirty, after the soul is dirty, then the poison of the soul, of the heart, it will spread its poison, that the stench, the smell, the insects, the creatures. So when you put something into the heart that's dirty, then it will make all your deeds contaminated as well. So now, to protect our deeds, to decorate our deeds, we need to protect our batin. We need to secure our inner soul. Those people who have the fikr of the hereafter. Now, for example, I say the friends of Allah, our aqabireen, the great pious predecessors who passed before us, they had great deeds that they practiced. But better than that, more important than that, if you look at their whole life, the most effort they made was to keep their batin pure, their heart pure, their soul pure, their nafs pure. The most effort they made in their lives was to do what? Was to purify their hearts and their souls and their batin. Every second their vision was on their batin, on their heart. And this is tazkiyah that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. The Quran tells us this, tazkiyah, purification. So a person who understands this point, he'll understand Allah has given me the tawfiq to practice. So the person who has fikr and is concerned that Allah wants to be successful in thereafter, then he washes and purifies his batin and heart and soul continuously. I'll give you an example. Such an illness, such a dirt that comes out from the batin, I speak about one disease, one. Such a dirt and impurity that when a person allows that dirt to come into his batin, then it's such a dirt, such an impurity, such a stench, such a smell. Along with Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, these were those golden age generation people who knew this. He said that such a dirty and impure disease cannot exist in the heart of a person than this disease, this in the batin of a person. What is that impurity? Kibr. Kibr. Never did we think on this point the way that we're discussing today. Never. Very few people today look at their batin. Oh, forget this point. It's not a problem. When we don't look at these issues, then 99.9% today people are immersed in this sin of kibr. I tell you the truth. And this is such a dangerous disease that if this is present within me, kibr, pride and haughtiness, this is such a dirty sin that there's no dirtier and smellier sin than this. And when does this continue to exist? Until the time of death. It takes a lot of time and effort to eliminate this, and you cannot eliminate this yourself, this disease. You cannot. What happens when a person has kibr? Listen clearly. For example, I pray salah, I do ibadah, dhikr. If kibr comes into me, kibr, what does a person do? What does kibr do to a person? Allah mentions clearly in the verses. The first example Allah gave of kibr, the worst example, whose example did Allah give? Allah Ta'ala made us alert that you're about to live in this world. And it was kibr that allowed shaitan to fail. Shaitan at such a high rank, he was a scholar. He used to live with the angels. He was close to Allah. He was in that same paradise that Adam alayhi salam was. He had a high status, high rank. He was very powerful and knowledgeable. Allah has mentioned. And very high in knowledge and status and rank. But he did one sin. What came into him? Kibr came into him. Pride and haughtiness. And how low did he drop? He was expelled from Allah Ta'ala's court. In the eyes of Allah, he dropped to the lowest level ever. He was dropped. And then Allah Ta'ala made him wretched forever. Forever. Due to what? One sin. So tell me, that human being who has kibr, where will his salah go? Where will his deeds go? Where will his worship go? And where will he or she go? Think. Think. No, I don't have no kibr. And this is the biggest pride. A person who says, I have no pride, he is the most proud of people. How can it be that if we don't cure an illness, if you don't even pay attention to a sin, you never think about the sin itself and read up on it and research on it and analyze it. You don't even think about it. Then how will that sin disappear from your heart? Tell me. How will that sin disappear? How? So brothers, we need to research, we need to think, we need to ponder. This is such a wretched sin that this will burn all of the good deeds. And this is the cart, the vehicle that pulls all of the other sins. And this sin of kibr takes a person towards shirk and kufr. It destroys him. Look at shaitan, he's a kafir. He's a disbeliever now. He has become a disbeliever due to the sin of kibr. And maybe we don't even know what is kibr. We don't even know what is the definition of kibr. If we don't know, then how will we cure this issue, this disease? So simple point I'm making today is that if we don't know the definition of sin, how will we cure it? Everyone gets a flu in the winter. There are very few people who get maybe proper flu, but everyone takes the jab, the flu jab, because I don't want to become ill. Many people take precautionary steps to avoid and ward off this illness or flu. So if we do this for physical illnesses, if kibr is a big disease internally, then what will happen to me on the Day of Judgment? Where will I go? How will I get the rewards for the deeds of practice? So now I'll tell you what is kibr. physically. And this is the reason why we have this majlis, this gathering. We come to this gathering, this is the style of a gathering, so we can realize where we are wrong, where we fall down, so we can benefit and improve ourselves. These may seem very thin and light in weight, but this is the true deen. Islam is to protect our lives and our deeds and our practice to the hereafter. That's the meaning of life in this world. And our Aqabirin pious predecessors did the same thing. Their whole life, from morning until evening, they used to talk and practice about these things. They used to speak about this one. They used to sit and discuss things. They met for this reason. If you look at their life, when they used to talk and have discussions, it was, how should we avoid the sin? How should we protect our deeds? So now listen, what is kibar? Then we have to look inside our hearts that, do I have kibar in my life or not? Because now it started, hasn't it? That look here, in this dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given everyone a speciality, isn't it? Everyone's got a special skill. Someone's got ilm, someone's special because of ilm and knowledge. He's a big alim, a scholar, muhaddith. Some people are special in the world, in the realm of ilm. Someone is a hafidh or a qari or a reciter, melodious. Then Allah Ta'ala gives other people special qualities. Somebody is a wali, a friend of Allah, a ghaus, a kutab, he's a dhakir. So you're doing dhikr. This is kamal. This is a great miracle and an achievement. This is a great status Allah has given the ability to do dhikr. Reading Quran in a great way, Allah Ta'ala has given you this achievement. So if Allah Ta'ala makes somebody a mahir, an expert in these fields, somebody has a nice voice, he recites, he's a qari, he's a master in qiraat, this is from Allah. Allah gives this speciality. Somebody has a specific type of knowledge. In the same way in the world, we have a person who is a, you can say a carpenter who makes chairs, or you have an electrician, or a good plumber, or a skillsman, or a tradesman. And these are the skills of the world. If somebody knows he is good, and he's got the skill, and he knows he's a good accountant, or a financial consultant, then he knows what he is worth. And if we take this example in everyday life, for example, somebody is handsome, Allah has given him husn, Allah has given husn to women or to men, and not every woman can say that she's haseen, and that not every woman can say that she's got the same handsomeness. Or a man, somebody is big and strong and powerful, he can say, my body is stronger and I'm a wrestler or I'm a bodybuilder. So kamal, everyone has different qualities. So what is kibr now? What is this disease of pride and haughtiness? Kibr is that if Allah Ta'ala has given somebody a speciality in all different fields of life, in deen or hereafter, if Allah has given someone special skills, and that individual on those special skills thinks that he is greater or better than others, and those who don't have these skills, and due to those people not having those skills, he thinks they are inferior and that he or she is superior, this is kibr. This is kibr. You understand what I'm saying? That individual who has a special skill, I am haseen, I am handsome, I look better than others, and due to my husn, I feel I'm superior, and somebody else is not haseen and looks inferior in terms of handsomeness, and I think I'm better, and the other person, that poor soul who's not handsome, and I think that person's inferior, then I have kibr within me. And I have the kibr of husn. If a person is healthy and strong, he says, I'm healthy, and the other person's weak and frail, and due to the health and due to his special skill of health and strength, he thinks I'm stronger and better, and the person who's unhealthy or not strong, he thinks that person is inferior, then this is kibr. And what does that kibr become? Allahu Akbar. Then Allah Ta'ala says that all of the blessings and fuyus are taken away from that person. He reaches to the bank of kufr and shirk. That thing that he thinks he has kamal, Allah Ta'ala says, I take it away from that person. The uruj, the heights that the person reaches to, remember, and he thinks that he has achieved his kamal, ilm, knowledge, buzurgi, walayat, whatever. Wherever a person starts to think in his heart that I've achieved this and I'm better than others and I am stronger, more powerful or pious, that person drops suddenly as quickly as shaitan was at the heights, and when he dropped, then he lost everything within moments. Same human being, he doesn't realize. The human being, when he thinks he's better than us, this is a big sin. In other words, that how sad a situation he reaches to, that person who drops from the heights and he loses his maqam in the eyes of Allah. He loses all of his status. But the biggest sin of kibr is that the person doesn't even know he has kibr inside him or inside her. And then the sin multiplies and the punishment multiplies. The pious elders say, the commentators said that the kibr sin is so bad, Allah says that many sins, the punishments Allah will give in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, not in this world, the punishment has come. Allah says, I'll give you the punishment hereafter, otherwise this world would be such a bad place. But kibr, the pride and haughtiness, is such a sin. Allah says, the dirt of this sin, the punishment is given in this world. Allah says, I make that person wretched, I make that person lost, that person loses everything in this dunya before the hereafter. Imagine how high a status a person has and how suddenly he drops due to kibr. Think for a moment. Only because we didn't pay attention to this sin, we didn't understand this sin, and we didn't control our batin, our soul and hearts. Listen, today you're listening to these points. You're listening, aren't you? If today you and me, if we don't sit in a majlis of tazkiyah, and we don't learn the science of the soul, the heart, then how would our awareness increase? How would we go towards tazkiyah? We came to this majlis, we came here in the name of dhikr. Allah sent us this message today, clear and simple and crystal clear. So is there benefit today for coming? Massive benefit. So today at least we should now become those who think. We should become thinkers. I'm doing this deed now. Okay, Allah's given me this quality. I'm better than others maybe. But if I think for a slight moment that others are inferior to me and I'm superior, then I've lost control of my skill and I think I'm better. And this is tazkiyah, purification of the heart and the soul. This is tazkiyah. The person all life long, if you don't realize your disease in your heart, but one tazkiyah gathering you've attended, Allah sends you the message and you become awake and alert to the sins. And the person who today in this gathering sits down, rather every man who's listening today, then you will succeed. If today in this message, now kibr, the biggest sign of kibr, I tell you right now, another sign of kibr is what? I tell you. That kibr, the person who has kibr, he will never say that of them kibr. He will never accept his mistake. Never. Shaitan, did he accept his mistake? Never. He continued to reject until today. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, openly about him, and he rejected. He will never accept, I did wrong until the day of judgment. He said, I didn't do this sin, I never thought bad. When did I say I didn't bow or I didn't prostrate? I didn't do this. But remember, is there a bigger kibr than this? What do we need to do today? We need to sit down for a few moments, think in your mind and heart for a few seconds. Allah, when did I do kibr? Have I got kibr? Do I think I'm better than others? Everyone has this disease within him. Everyone. Somewhere or other, Allah Ta'ala has put a quality in your life. You have such a status or a skill or a rank or a level. There are different levels in the world, aren't there? Different levels. I'll give you one example. That kibr, pride and haughtiness, the biggest sign of kibr in this world is what is in front of us. That the wretchedness of what? Is that the biggest sign of kibr is zulm. Zulm. Subhanallah. As Arfi rahmatullah stated, he was also my spiritual sheikh, alhamdulillah. He said, look, my friends, that kufr, the kingdom of kufr happens, it occurs and it runs. But the kingdom of zulm never continues to flourish. Because zulm, oppression, behind oppression is kibr. And behind kibr is Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. Allah wipes it away. Allah says, I will wipe away the zalim here and now in the dunya. And I've seen in my life various zalims wiped away. Various hukumats. And kingdoms that did a zulm, and nobody can imagine that they could be controlled, that you could lift a finger on these people. That some days, you could not even imagine some days back, that here, could somebody speak in front of this person or look him in the eye? But subhanallah, Allah says those people have wiped away, Allah Ta'ala says, and vanished into thin air. Dust, we've seen them fall into tunnels, into drainage pipes, and we've seen their faces rubbed in the dirt, in the dust. This is Allah Ta'ala's promise. That the person who has kibr, Allah says, I'll give you one sign of kibr. The first sign is dhulm, oppression. The one who has kibr is a dhalim. He oppresses others. And I'm not talking about leadership and kingdoms. This starts from home. If a husband does dhulm with his wife, and he doesn't fulfill the rights of the wife, if a wife doesn't fulfill the rights of the husband, then both are zalim, that man and the woman, and they totally are in the same circle of the zalims, and that house can never flourish and prosper. That family, that home can never prosper in which there is zulm, in which there is oppression. Remember this point. This is a big point that we need to understand. Big point. Brothers, there's destruction in the hereafter, but definitely in the world the destruction will come. That person's deeds will be burnt and wasted. In the court of Allah when he will be presented like a zalim. He will be presented like a zalim with mutakabbir, with the pride in front of Allah. Imagine the scene. And the person who doesn't cure this disease of kibr, tell me, who goes towards tazkiyah in this day and age? Who goes towards purification of the heart and the soul? Is there anyone here today? From the highest to the lowest, this is the biggest kibr. This is the biggest kibr. Is there anyone here today who has regard and wants to cure this? Subhanallah. But when a person becomes alert and awake, subhanallah, that I want to do tazkiyah, I want to purify my batin, subhanAllah. Then that person doesn't see I'm an alim, the greatest scholar, the best scholar, the greatest alim, the greatest muhaddith and commentator. I've seen this in my life. People who have come to me, I've seen those people, I'm ashamed that they've come to me for learning. I become ashamed. Hazrat Rashid Ajwari sahab, when he comes to the gathering, Ajwari sahab, mashallah, he comes. When he comes to me, when he came to me for dhikr, I was ashamed. I said, Hazrat, that please don't make me ashamed. How can I teach you dhikr? Such a great personality. He said, no, give me bayah, give me dhikr. He came to my home. Such great people. Can they have kibir in their hearts? Tell me these people. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Such great personalities and ulama. I said, Hazrat, I'm not capable to teach you. He said, no, the question doesn't arise. I've come to your house. Allah has given me this knowledge of the batin, of purification. Teach me dhikr. And whose names shall I give to you in this world? The world is not empty. But those people who have understanding, awareness, doesn't matter what level of knowledge they're on. They know that these are temporary. This knowledge I've learned is temporary. This dunya that is picking me up to the heights, I am not going to show off the realities. I want the reward of the hereafter. I need to clean my soul and heart. Those people, they lower themselves. The more aruj Allah gives to these great people, the heights that Allah gives to them, in the same way they're scared of Allah. Allah, you give me the aruj, the height. Will this be able to go with me? Am I mutakabir? Am I proud of my knowledge? Then they run towards tazkiyah and tasawwuf. They analyze themselves. The kibr will burn me. I need to go and purify my heart and learn the science from the teacher. So is it clear now for you? And everyone has kibr in their hearts. Every one of us. Every individual has the disease of kibr, starting from the home, the wife, the husband, the children. Don't we do as husbands do dhulum on the wife, on the children? If, for example, don't we make non-shari demands on our wife or our children? Have I ever utilized my wife in a wrong way, which is not within hukuk, but I use her as a dhalim? No, you have to do this. No, you must do this now. No, my mother said you have to do this. My father said you have to do this. But when this comes out of the tongue and it shows that you are doing dhulam and it's not the right of the wife that she deserves this treatment, in the same way the wife, she does wrong. Will she not answer to Allah? She's a dhalim and he's a dhalim. And the dhalim can never be prosperous in this world or thereafter. So live in this world scared. Allah Ta'ala says you should have fear. Whilst you live in the world, from Alif Lam Mim to Surah Nas, Allah says live in this world afraid that your body should shake just like a tree shakes and the leaves shake. You should shake every second that Allah, I'm going to come to you. How will I present myself to you? I'm a dhalim. Allah, what amal do I have? Look at my status. Look at me. How will the kibr come out of my heart? Allah says I took you out of a dirty place. You're being born. You came from the meeting of two impure pieces of matter. Imagine what is your state. What is your ibadah? You think your worship is something special? You think you are something special? You were formed by the mating of two impure things. And you were created by impure dust. And kibr is impure. But you don't wash it. You don't purify it. And you think you are the best. Allahu Akbar. Allah says kibr when it comes out, then let me tell you the second half of the person, when he changes and improves himself, then you realize that you are a proper human being and kibr has come out of you. I'll give you an example. Listen to how does kibr come out. Kibr can never come out of a person unless the solution is practiced. The cure for kibr is 100%. You have to go to a wali of Allah, a sheikh who is qualified to purify the internal diseases. Allah says, "Qunu ma'as-sadiqin." Then the internal diseases will be uprooted and washed away. Then your internal soul will be clean. I went to my Hazrat. I saw big kings and leaders and ministers. Ministers and leaders and governors came to my Sheikh. Subhanallah to Hazrat. The greatest leaders of the time. People with status, ilmi, knowledgeable, greatest scholars and mujtahids and muftis came to my Hazrat to purify their hearts and their souls. Tell me, why did they come? A judge sahab came to Hazrat, and everyone's listening to what I'm saying. Even in Pakistan, they're listening. My peer bhais, my fellow students who are in my silsila, who are from our original khanqah, and they all have a desire. They wake up and they listen to our zikr. Say subhanallah. In Pakistan, this is affairs of our Hazrat, that they even in that same place, listen. I said about one person, I said, Hazrat, that how comes you sit? I said, it's 2 a.m. at the moment in Pakistan. He said, why are you saying this? He said, I'm so lucky, forget 2 a.m. I'm so fortunate that I sit in your majlis. He said, I'm so fortunate. This is Hazrat Zikr, and this is a accepted Zikr, he said. Bade Hazrat Zikr. How can I not sit in the Zikr at 2 a.m.? Great, great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given. The question doesn't arise that I miss it. So should we have kibr? Oh, I can't sit and I can't wait this long. It's too late. And look at our Zikr, it's too good and we're the best known. So how does kibr come out and when does it come out? Where does kibr come out from? So, if you don't present yourself to a sheikh who is qualified, the friend of Allah, to clean your heart, then the kibr won't come out of your heart. Now tell me, how many people today in this day and age go to a wali Allah, a true sheikh? Oh, please give me a ta'weez, or please blow on the water to get all the solutions to the worldly problems. We'll do functions. But does any zalim come to a sheikh and say, sheikh, please give me the solution for kibr? No. But until you don't go to the doctor and say, I've got flu, then he'll give you the tablets or the syrup for flu. But the mutakabbir is so much drowned in his mutakabbir and his pride, he won't even go to the doctor and say that I've got kibr. He says, no, I'm fine, please make me your khalifa. That is the disease of his stench. A few days ago, I gave to a person dhikr in Manchester. And just a few days ago, and his heart became alive, just like mashallah, and then he came to me, stood in front of me. I said, yes, what is it? He said, I'm a wali now. I've done dhikr, you've given me this. I said, how comes you become a wali? He said, my heart is beating to Allah's name. I said, mashallah, that's good. That's good. Just a few days, it's only been a week, and you're coming in front of me and saying that you're wali of Allah, that you've reached to the heights. This is how a person's nafs betrays him. So in this line of tasawwuf, we don't even understand what is tazkiyah. We go to a wali Allah to learn dhikr, tazkiyah, purification. How do we go to a friend of Allah? Don't take bad what I'm saying. We'll see that who is the greatest sheikh today. Even if he's living, for example, he says that I can break the moon and my face is on the moon and all the world knows about him, and he has adverts in papers and in social media, and the most famous person will go to him. Oh no, I'm bad to this sheikh. I have a link with this sheikh. He will never meet you. You'll never see him. No sohbat, no connection. Never will he cure your disease. Never have you seen him. But just to tell people, I have a link and a sohbat and a nisbat with this sheikh. Yeah? He is this alim. Is this tazkiyah? Is this purification? Tell me. The pious elders said that if you want to find a doctor, if you want to find a GP, general practitioner, then you will go on Blackburn Road. You'll say, where is the closest in my vicinity, the doctor, so I'm ill, I can get to him quickly. Have you ever seen that you travel 20 miles, and if you're living in Bolton, you go to Blackburn for GP, 25 miles away. Your akal, you all have understanding and akal, but kibr doesn't allow you to go to the sheikh who's on your doorstep. Now who are you to decide? Allah says that maybe for your destiny, Allah Ta'ala give you such a wali, that maybe he is lower than you in ilm and knowledge, but you have to bow in front of that person. You have to bow yourself. Allah Ta'ala knows best that how will your heart and your soul and nafs be cured. Allah Ta'ala knows that the cure of this person, how will it come? So if Allah Ta'ala gives you in your destiny a teacher, a sheikh, and that person takes your hand and cures you, then stand or sit in front of his shoes and be quiet. Doesn't matter how low he is in front of you, lower than you in ilm, in knowledge or whatever. But if this is your peer, then you are his murid, then you have to submit and learn from that person, and then you will reach to the destination, to the heights. That don't put the thermometer to the gauge. How high is he? How much knowledge has he got? Look at his qirat and his nukte and points and fatwas. All lifelong you'll wander around. The pious elders give an example. Has it ever happened that water, you're thirsty and you dig a hole here and dig a well here and dig a well here? You'll dig wells all your life. If you want to water, then go to that first well and take the water and quench your thirst. So don't start deciding upon your own status. Does a person give you the solution? Does a sheikh give you the solution? Does a peer give you the solution? Allah is the one who gives the solution. Allah is the one who purifies the hearts. Allah is the one who purifies the batin. So Allah wants to see that how much do you lower your nafs and your desires and all of your demands. That if you don't have love with the wali of Allah that's in front of you, then how much will you love Allah? How much will you get close to Allah? For example, Allah send you to this majlis. Then why do you look around for other solutions? Oh, no, if he did dhikr in this way, I'd enjoy myself. Or if he taught me these points, the person who comes with preconditions will not earn an atom's weight of dust from this gathering. If a person thinks he should have done dhikr like this, he should have said fatwas like this, he should have given a bayan like this, he keeps on saying these things, let's go to another sheikh who's greater, because he's got a greater name in the world. My brothers, my friends, this majlis is Allah's majlis, and that majlis is Allah's majlis. Wherever Allah Ta'ala sends you, and where your solution is being earned, then that is the place you need to go, and that's where the fairs of Hazrat is coming from. That's the greatest hospital where Allah Ta'ala sent you. If you turn away from the hospital that Allah Ta'ala sent you, you're turning away from Allah, and if you turn your face from Allah, then Allah will destroy you in this world and hereafter. Though who are you to select that my heart doesn't feel, I don't want to take the solution, oh, I've got kibr, I know best. Allah says, if I've sent you and you've got too much kibr, that you still reject and you stand challenging Allah, then your cure cannot be earned from anywhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? These pills are maybe bitter, but we need to swallow them. Because Allah Ta'ala says that we need to understand from the truth. Allah Ta'ala in the whole Quran has told us how to correct ourselves thereafter, become human beings after we die. We will stand in front of Allah. Allah says, I gave you every day, every second to purify your heart. Your satay, understand this message of today. Then straight away do amal. I am ill. I have the internal diseases. I've got these broken down 4 salah, 5 salah in my day. If these are not accepted, how will I succeed in thereafter? So if I've got broken down deeds, then I need to take them in such a way that Allah accepts them. Otherwise Allah will say, you haven't brought nothing to me. What shall I do for you? So at least these broken down ibadat that Allah has given to us, let's protect them, that we have to present them to Allah. Allah is Kareem and merciful. He will forgive and He will accept and He will send us into paradise, even with these few broken down, crumbled deeds of us. So if we come to this majlis with preconditions, oh, I've come in, I'm not learning anything from here, and it's not important for me, oh, it's a waste of my time. But if I say, no, I go to do dhikr of Allah, he must be a great shaykh if he's teaching Allah's name. And even though you want a connection with Allah, that Allah is the greatest and Allah is most powerful, that He has brought me, this impure person, Allah Ta'ala selected me to come to this majlis, Allah selected all of you, then Allah is the one who's given us the kamalat and the beautiful skills. Allah is the one who's giving. We're not making, we're not earning. And then the person who has pure destiny and pure ikhlas, he will leave this majlis with all of the rewards under the sun. We should be millions of times over happy that Allah has sent us to the hospital. He's given us such an important and simple hospital that we can't make a fuss. He's given us such a doctor. Allah Ta'ala has given us a doctor today in a hospital today according to our desires in this day and age. We shouldn't waste a second, and we should come here time and time again and get forgiveness from Allah time and time again. And that's when kibar will end and will be eliminated. But those who have pride, no, I don't need to come here regularly. I've got more knowledge than this. I'm better than this. I'm already purified. So it's not my dhikr, it's not my dad's dhikr, nor can I do dhikr, nor do I have the quality of doing dhikr, nor can I teach dhikr, nor am I capable of doing this. I say this openly and clearly, that I'm not even kabil one taka, not even one atom's weight. You are thousands of times better than me, thousands of times over better than me, more pious than me, better than me, improved than me. You are thousands and millions of times better than me. Who am I to host and teach this dhikr? But this is Allah's fadl and karam, that He sent me to a wali of Allah, and that wali gave me hukum that go and do this duty. And that's why I come to this gathering. I am the ghulam, the servant of the hukum of my shaykh, the order of my shaykh. Allah Ta'ala has given me this great opportunity that I can fulfill the order of my teacher. Allah Ta'ala, may He forgive me that even one breath of mine is exhaled. I think I'm a wali or a kutub or a abdal or a teacher. If I come like this with this feeling, then totally I'm wasting my time. Totally not. I'm fulfilling the order of the wali of Allah, my teacher, who I've got the tahreer in written, that you go in the alleyways, in the streets and the roads, in the cities and towns, that I give you hukum order to go and teach this dhikr. And inshallah, I will fulfill this today. And inshallah, till the akhirah, I will do this. I will not leave this hukum. Yes, because I'm doing my job. This is my employment. I will ask in thereafter, Allah, give me the payment, the salary. I did your job, Allah. I wasn't a wali of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala won't ask me that I made you a kutub, a wali of Allah, a ghost, etc. Allah will say, I'm your khadim. You gave me a hukam. So please, Allah, give me the hisab. Give me the accounting of my job that I did in the world. That Allah, please give me Jannatul Firdaus. I want this today and thereafter. That I want the qurb and the nearness to the anbiya, the prophets, that I did nakal and I imitated them. Allah on the road. Allah will say, okay, my servant, you fulfilled my request, and you are ghulam and the khadim of the wali of Allah. You want a kudum and abdal, you want a wali of Allah. You are like a servant, and you sat on the dust of the shoes of the walis. Go, and you will get what you are asking for. Subhanallah. So what a great transaction. I don't need to be a kutub abdal. I don't need a benefit of this. I have no need for this. I am just, if I'm better for me, that I just remain the ghulam, the servant of Ali Murtaza, the genuine, the true servant. If I become the true servant of his court, the person has been chosen, that go, this isn't your destiny, go and do my work. Go and do my work and go and spread the deen. So my brothers, we don't want to see that we need to be a great personality. Wherever we get islah, rectification, that's good enough. Today you've got such a great majlis to improve the disease of kibr, pride, haughtiness. So if a person who wants to be saved from kibr, he comes with the right knee intention to a shaykh and says, "The Hazrat, I want to remove the disease of kibr," then alhamdulillah, kibr does not remain in that person due to the fadl of Allah. Because who is the person who removes kibr? Allah. Allah says, this person's come to you, O my wali, O teacher, so now I will remove the kibr from this person, I will cure him. So those people who have not corrected their niyas yet, then correct your niyah today that you've been sent to this person. then you need to eliminate your internal sins and maladies. And the injection that this doctor will give, we will accept him. We won't make a fuss. We won't complain or criticize the method of our teacher. Whichever teacher Allah Ta'ala selected for, Allah says, go here. And Allah selected the person, whatever he does, whatever he says, night to day we will be his servants and we'll be his students, because he is removing our diseases and illnesses internally. And that's when a person will succeed. And those who make a fuss will never succeed. Let me tell you this. They'll make a complaint. And it may not be that on the day of judgment Allah grabs me. I'm implementing my duty properly. I tell you everything. I'm the khadim. I speak openly. And here, there's no fussiness. The person who doesn't have the correct intention, correct it before you come here today. Allah sent us to this person, the doctor, whatever cure he gives to us, we will accept. And there's no fussiness at all, no complaints, no criticism. And the person who says, oh, I'm not ill, I've got no kibbut, I've got no defects, then how will he be corrected? How? How will that person be corrected? Do you understand, brothers? Do you understand the point here? So how does a person get improved and corrected? By sitting or connecting himself to the company of the Wali of Allah. So how do we know if we've corrected our illnesses? Subhanallah. Say three times, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Then we know that our iman is revived. Now the cure is coming. I'm telling you in emotion that how do we know that our sickness has been resolved and cured? Alhamdulillah, now we can assess and measure if we have taken the solution. So who's given the kamalat? Allah. Who's made us alim? Allah. Who's made us hafiz? Allah. Who's made us qari? Allah. Who's made us wali? Allah. Who's made a person handsome? Allah. Who's given a person a good body? Allah. You can do exercise and your body won't become nice and sculptured like the bodybuilder or the wrestler or the person who's making effort. You can, for example, you can take injections and steroids, etc. How has this person got a big body? But Allah Ta'ala says, I've made this person's body, I've made this person that body. So do you accept everything comes from Allah? So why do we reject? We think, this is a good point I'm telling you. And look at this point that the fakir is making. These are words of the fakir. So we think that kibar, the cure for kibar is, no, I'm not an alim. No, I'm not a hafiz. And I'm humbling myself. I think that this is the cure for kibar. No, this is not the cure for kibar. You're still in deception. This is not a kurd. No, I'm a dhakir. No, I'm a dhakir. No, I'm not a wali of Allah. No, I don't teach dhikr. No, I'm not handsome. No, I'm not strong. No, I'm not such a good scholar. No, this is not the sign of a person. So you've been ungrateful for all Allah has given to you. Subhanallah. Say loudly, I'm an alim. Say clearly, I'm an alim. Say it, I'm haseen. Say it, I'm a Sufi. Say it, I'm a dhakir. Say it, that my Quran is good. Say it. This is the ni'mah of Allah. You are making it clear, announce it. But when your batin is clear, so inside what we will be saying, inside your feeling will be saying, that before what you were saying, I'm an alim, a scholar, and this, and you were seeking fame and attention, you thought that you were better than others. That I'm better than this individual. So when your batin is corrected and purified, when you say, that time I'm haseen, at that time what's happening? That I'm haseen, but I'm not haseen through husn. This husn Allah has given, not due to my beauty. This is Allah's kamal. This is Allah's fadl. This is Allah Ta'ala who's given to me. This is Allah who's given, and you say this, and then you will become sincere. And that's the difference. Then consider that you've been corrected. So you were saying it before, and that was kibar. And you were saying before, I'm an alim. That you're not an alim, I'm an alim. I am haseen. And I am handsome. And I am a Sufi. And what was the style there, and the different way of saying? Now you're saying, I'm an alim. Subhanallah, I'm grateful to Allah, Allah's karam, Allah's fadl, Allah's favors, Allah's mercy. When you say this, Allah gives and He gives me more and more. So now everything, all of your kamalat and skills and qualities, you've bestowed and assigned the responsibility and the giving to Allah. Because Allah is the one who gives. So nothing is deserved from birth. Nothing is there by nature. If I today say this, then tomorrow I won't even realize when Allah Ta'ala takes away from me. This is Allah's fadl. Allah says, this is what I like, that you're humble and that you recognize that everything is from Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So never consider that something is yours or mine. Consider it's Allah's. And when this quality is created within a person, then subhanallah. And that person has kamal and achievement. And this quality is created. And when he speaks and he says this, wow, I am like this. Janab, subhanallah, this is the fadl of Allah, this is Allah's karam, Allah's ahsan, Allah's favor, Allah's mercy. And you're rejoicing and saying this. Allah says, the more you rejoice, the more I will elevate you. Subhanallah. And when a person says something from kibar, the more a person says out of kibar, the more he's suppressed within the earth. So this is the same kamal. But when the batin changes, then the appearance and the form changes. And this is the shan, the glory, the quality of the walis of Allah. That when a person sits in the company of wali of Allah, then a beautiful improvement comes within that person, that he comes out of Jahannam and goes into Jannah. Do you understand today what I'm saying? The message of today? So we need to save our batin. Every kamal is from Allah. Every quality is from Allah. Every skill is from Allah. And the heart is saying this. Allah has given the darajat and the kafiyat. The emotion of that person, the tears in his eyes and his body will be trembling. And he won't even be thinking that this is my praise somebody's given. When he's being praised, all praises are delivered to are from Allah. All praises are due to Allah. That we're saying, oh, this person's haseen and handsome. And his thoughts go towards Allah. That Allah is jameel. Allah's karam. Allah's mercy. Allah's favors, Allah's fadl. Look, this is what we need to see. That it's not from a little bit, we say, Hazrat, mashallah, great, great, what you're doing. Great kitab you've written. I've written this. No, no, no. Half an hour, praise Allah. And then a person starts to cry. Then I speak about Haji sahab, mashallah, with kamal here. They had a lot of kamal and qualities. That he sat on one straw mat, this Naqshbandi Shaykh, subhanAllah. And his kamal, that mashallah he revived the hearts and he revived the maktubat and Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, this Naqshbandi silsila, he revived it. And his room was so small and a broken straw mat and a broken mat and a pen in his hand, subhanAllah, and the bottle of ink and the fountain pen, and he's writing what tafsirs of Quran he wrote, what dictionaries of the Quran he wrote. I was amazed at what work of the deen Allah Ta'ala took from him. When I used to see him, I said, Hazrat, mashallah, he said, me? No, no, I've done nothing. That Farooq Sahib, you come in, you keep on saying things like this. This is Allah's kamal, Allah's achievement, Allah's fadl, Allah's karam. Half an hour he would praise Allah and praise Allah. To this extent that I would cry and he would cry. SubhanAllah. So these are the insan, the true human beings. They're in the dunya. Nobody knows that person. Nobody knows his status. These kitabs upon kitabs that show and testify to his greatness. And people have stood there. And there, all of things he's assigning to Allah. This is not me. I've not achieved this. I don't know where, how can I start to write. I have nothing. Look, I've got nothing. I have no capability. I'm not even worthy of this. So when he said, whoever has given this to me, go to Allah. Allah, everything is from Allah. Everything goes to Allah. And this is Allah's promise. That when this happens, that Allah Ta'ala says, when I give some qualities to people, and he returns the he knows that Allah Ta'ala is the one who's given, then Allah says, I elevate that person's status. So my brothers, this is these ajeeb points, we need to be aware of kibar. And today a person says, I'm this and I am that. And a person who says, has hasad, he's got kibar. A person says, I do ghibat, he's got kibar. All of the illnesses, all of these are branches of kibar. When we eliminate kibar, then all of the branches of sin are eliminated. Dhulm will finish, oppression will finish, hasad will finish, envy will finish. The houses will prosper, the families will prosper, society will prosper. Because Islam gives benefit to everyone. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq today, the message of tonight. Let's continue to analyze ourselves. That Allah has put us, given us kamal and qualities and achievements. Don't think that this is your achievement or my achievement or our achievement. Don't consider that you are better and someone's inferior and you are superior and I am superior. No, I've seen Quran come out of the hearts. There was one individual who's crying, stood, and he thought for a moment that I am a great qari and I'm a hafiz of Quran and I never make mistakes. My Quran is strong. The next day when he stood on the prayer mat to lead the salah, he could not recite the Quran. It had evaporated from his memory. Allah said, Kibar, I give the punishment in the world before the death comes. He couldn't recite the words of the Quran. He was so fluent in recitation of Quran. So fluent. And he just sat there on the prayer mat and started to cry and shriek and scream. May Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. It just takes a second. Allah Ta'ala can take back whatever He wants. These are all things that Allah Ta'ala has given. This is Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. Allah Ta'ala says that I don't depend on anyone. Allah Ta'ala says I can take away the memory. I can take away the understanding. Mawlana Taqi Sahib, subhanAllah, great personality. Great personality. Himself, on the member, he said that I've forgotten everything. I don't understand. I cannot say a word. I'm nothing. I don't understand what I'm saying. I don't know where to start from. We've seen this. This is a fact. And these are great personalities. And these are muttaqi people and fearful of Allah. And then mashallah, they purified their batins in front of Hazrat Arifi Sahib. And they were great students. They weren't alims who had empty, hollow knowledge. Their walid, their father sent them to their sheikh and they knew that the Islam was happening. They were grateful to Allah. He did shukr to Allah khair. And then he passed that test. But this is the case with everybody, that they get a test. And he said himself that this is what occurs. Allah Ta'ala, if he wants, within a second, he take all ilm and knowledge away. The words were not coming out from his mouth. He said, I wanted to say something, but I couldn't say it what I wanted to say. So what beautiful words he says, and a great scholar of today. So these points we need to understand, that nothing belongs to us. Nothing at all. Nothing belongs to us. Nothing. Nobody can say, I'm a sheikh, I'm a permanent sheikh, I'm a wali Allah, I am this and that, and I am the inheritor of this and that. Who can say this? This is the fadl of Allah. As long as Allah's karam continues, it will continue. We should be grateful to Allah that that's it. That today Allah has made us recite Quran, we should be grateful. You're Hafiz of Quran and you've recited some verses, then you should be millions of times over, Allah, I'm so grateful to Allah that you've given me Quran until now. Don't blow hot and cold that I am the best and I'm solid and fluent. No one's solid. This is all Allah's fadl and karam and blessings and mercies and grace. May Allah protect us from kibar. Ameen.